This is the Uncensored Voice. No bullshit, just real shit.
Discussing things that will stir the pot. Only here on the Uncensored Voice.
With your hosts, Ricky Midnight and Randy Savage.
This is Randy Savage.
And this is Ricky Midnight.
Welcome to the Uncensored Voice. Today we're going to be talking about my friend and candidate for City of San Antonio City Council District Number 6, Irina Rudolph.
Is that pretty blonde lady?
Yes, she is.
Tell us about her.
She is pretty and she is smart. And a lot of what's going on, we've been doing some door knocking. We've been getting the word out to our fellow San Antonians in District 6 about her platform, which includes responsible tax use. The taxes acquired from the district should be used in the district, not for the entire city of San Antonio. We need to take care of our own district is basically what we're talking about. Crime issues. Crime is an issue in District 6. It's in every district in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. But in this case, we want additional resources and attention to address the concerns in this district for crime. Homeless camp issues. There's a problem with that as well, more so in other districts, but also in District 6, utilization of current resources and providing compassion for those who are less fortunate, meaning our homeless population mm-hmm. in
oh,
District
definitely.
6.
I agree with that.
Of course, lower taxes for property owners. Taxes should be reasonable and appropriate. And Irina is all about pro-business. She is a small business owner, her and her husband. She's pro-jobs, pro-Second Amendment. I know that's a big thing right now.
I like that one, definitely, yeah.
In light of what's going on with the people in Washington, D.C., currently occupying the White House, and an advocate for senior citizens. We want to take care of our senior citizens in District 6.
They were here before us. They knew how to do things before we ever knew, and they taught us how to do them. So, yeah,
they
we need
kind
to take
of provide
of them.
The blueprint for yeah, how we definitely. Should be living our lives as responsible citizens. Irina is also very supportive of our military, veterans, and first responders. So she has
She's
your six.
Pro police.
Absolutely,
like
she is 100% pro police. Yeah. We love our police.
There's too many people who aren't pro police, but she is. I like that.
Well, she's definitely an advocate for that. We did some door knocking yesterday. Today's the 28th of February. We're probably going to put out the show very shortly after that.
29th, actually. It's coming out tomorrow.
There is no 29th of February this year.
Oh, yeah. It's leap year. I'm creating leap year.
I don't know if he really didn't know that or if he's just
Yeah, no. Actually,
funny.
My mom was saying, tomorrow's the 29th. No, Mom, tomorrow's the 1st.
Did you really
1st.
Think it was tomorrow was 29th?
Oh, no, my mom didn't. I didn't.
Oh, okay.
My mom was, we were talking yesterday. She goes, on the 29th, I'm going to do the 29th of next month? No, this month. Mom, there's not 29 this month.
Yeah, because Ricky is on top of it.
Yeah, I am.
Irina Rudolph, candidate for District 6, has links to Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So if you're a part of any of those platforms, please check them out. And plenty of information is on there. The website for this is very easy. It's d6sa.com.
That's Delta, like the letter Delta, and then 6, like the number 6, right?
Yes. You want to put it military style? We'll do Delta 6 Sierra Alpha.
Delta 6 Sierra Alpha.
Dot Charlie Oscar Mike.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
Boom, like, done.
Yeah, 10 phonetic four, alphabet.
the phonetic alphabet. So, yes, we are doing the best we can, getting our signs out. Now, we've been having some issues, we think, with the incumbent of City of San Antonio, Council District 6. Mm-hmm. I don't want to really mention her name, but I'll just call her by her first name. Her name's Melissa. Mm-hmm. She's been very complacent, hasn't really did much. It seems like once you get in office, you just sit there and you get into the political machine and just enjoy the rewards, kickbacking to people who helped you and taking care of them, business owners. There was a few cases where we were told by a property owner to take our signs down. Like we mm-hmm. caught them in the act, and they were destroying the signs, and we stopped them.
So but I guess they were for the other.
Definitely the guy said he was like a broker representing the owner of that piece of open land property. Mm-hmm. The opposition line sign could stay up, but we had to take our signs down.
Yeah, he was definitely for the incumbent.
Yeah, and
or the opposition, at least.
I didn't say anything to him, but I gave him that look. like, I think we put like three signs versus one Melissa sign. We really wanted to cover her up. Yeah, we didn't touch her sign though.
But I saw one of those. You sent me a picture of one of those big signs. She was standing in front of it taking a picture. Really neat picture, by the way. But did somebody build those stands for you for those signs? Those are pretty neat.
You know, I can honestly say we rednecked it.
You rednecked it. What do you mean?
He just put the wood together and just screwed it in there. And,
yeah.
And made it, make sure it was supporting, you know, the sign and everything, because mm-hmm. there was some wind
nice.
Out there.
Like a nice and sturdy sign.
I'm not talented at that stuff, but mm-hmm. We had somebody out there, a carpenter, who mm-hmm. just, you know, cut nice. Stakes up. We stabilized it. Mm-hmm. Made, I think they call them T-posts.
Well, then I wouldn't be rednecking it. I would actually be doing it right.
I took a picture of it yeah. on the backside, and
yeah.
it looked... It didn't look like a professional carpenter
well,
doing it,
but
you know
it
what?
Was good.
The bottom line, Ricky, yeah. is that it worked.
It worked, and that's what matters.
And the sign is there, and they can't take it away.
Get the word out there is what matters.
And
right?
it is on public easement, yeah. so we should have no problem with property owners saying, "Ah, you can't do that."
Yeah.
But we know that the political machine is out there working mm-hmm. against us, just like it was with President Trump.
Any incumbent who's wants to stay in office is going to try to. Have people trash your signs. That's the way it is, unfortunately.
But see, we don't do stuff like that as part of our campaign. We mm-hmm. do not advocate tearing down signs, defacing signs, or anything of that nature.
It's private property. Don't
because,
touch
it. But ours was private property, and they messed with it.
Well, I know. I'm saying we would not touch private property.
Yeah, of course.
No.
But there were some concerns about nice guys finish last.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of concerned about that. Even though we wouldn't do it to them, yeah. they may do it to us. And mm-hmm. under the guise of, it could be anybody like defacing the sign. But it had happened. One sign was destroyed, I think. But we bounced back and we were able to relocate the signs into even better spots.
Mm-hmm.
And we were chasing daylight putting these signs out. And I think we did an awesome job. The team
Excellent.
Did an awesome job. All I did was pretty much pass out screws and yeah. washers and stuff. that. While the other guys did.
You were the assistant.
I was assisting a lot of people in many different ways, but knocking on the doors is one thing that I really like doing, because we were able to engage directly with the person who has the ability to put her in office, the people, the residents of District 6, and we actually got a lot of good reception, mostly from veterans.
Well, Randy, let's do a role playing right now. So let's say you're going to come knock on my door right now, right? So you come to knock on my door, and we'll knock on a door. I answer the door. What do you do? I mean, what do you say?
Well, the door opens up, and I would say, "Hi there. Are you aware that there is an election coming up on May 1st?"
I am, but I really don't register to vote. I don't do much voting.
Well, this is we have a candidate coming up for election to unseat the incumbent. Her name is Irina Rudolph. I'd like to let you know more about her, her platform. And I want to let you know she's pro-jobs, pro-Second Amendment, pro-business. She owns a small business, so she wants to get things done. We don't want to talk. We want action.
So right now, as the person who's the incumbent, who's actually in right now, are they mostly just talking? They don't do anything? And they're not pro-Second Amendment?
No, in fact, we saw an image of the incumbent raising their fist in the air in support of Black Lives Matter. We take issue with that.
And now, we know Black Lives Matter is a racist hate group. And so anybody who's for that racist hate group, we don't want them in there, because they can't be unbiased. They can't be neutral.
Yeah. And it's really hard when you have everything working against you as mm-hmm. far as the majority of people and the anti-sentiment of anybody conservative or at least common sense policies that would help this city.
Mm-hmm.
I think that things need to be done, and they need to be done swiftly and efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is fiscal responsibility.
Yeah. Well, you know, to me, the biggest thing that you mentioned when you came and knocked on my door and you were telling me that she is pro-Second Amendment, I think that's probably the thing that I am most... I mean, of course, I want lower taxes, and, you know, I want proper fiscal spending. I mean, I know the government is going crazy giving our money away to other countries, I mean, and that just pisses me off. And then, of course, our money's not being spent right here in San Antonio. It's not, you know, I'm not happy with that. But the thing I like the most is you said she's pro-Second Amendment. I mean, that
right is 100%
there,
correct, yeah, yes.
She'd have my vote just that alone.
She is 100% pro Second Amendment.
Excellent, excellent. You know, because I don't want to give up my guns, not just because I don't want to give up my guns, but because the Constitution says I don't have to.
Well, when I say pro Second Amendment, I think that pretty much says it all for what she stands for. I think we all know what that means.
Yeah, yeah.
And so pro jobs, people getting back to work is very important.
I need a job, Randy. Yeah.
In like post COVID world,
yeah, it's really hard right now.
Everything's turned upside down.
Mm-hmm. It's hard right now.
Everybody's working from home, but you know, some people actually need to get out and do stuff. You know. Mm-hmm. In the open air or in a building other than your house. Because I think human interaction is very very essential to, you know, being an American. Mm-hmm. Pro-business. She's all for businesses. Businesses in the district are shutting down or seriously cutting back their hours. Restaurants are practically direct victims of this type of thing with COVID.
I think a lot of it, like you said, a lot of it's because of COVID. I mean, it's like a chain of events. Because of COVID, it's affecting everybody. People don't go out as much because of COVID. They don't want to go out and be among other people and businesses because they don't want to catch COVID and die. And business owners don't want to get sick and die. And they don't. And other patrons, they don't want their patrons to get sick and die. But it's a double-edged sword because if they close down their businesses because of this COVID, then they go out of business. So if they go out of business, their employees don't have a job. Their employees don't have a job. They don't put money back into the economy. It's a chain of events. It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse, you know?
Well, it's going to progressively get worse, which leads to crime. A lot of homeless, they do exist in District 6. You don't see them because they're so packed away into those wooded areas. I think especially around Highway 151. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen them personally, but Irina has seen them.
Well, I know that they're there because I used to be an officer over there in that area off of 151.
Oh, I forgot about that.
We used to see, I used to work the night shift. We used to see fires out there in the woods. I mean, every now and then you can see fires in the woods or someone walking around with a flashlight in the woods, things like that.
Were you ordered to disperse them?
No, actually, that wasn't my purview as an officer. So, no, I wasn't. Every now and then we'd call in and say, hey, we're seeing lights out there in the woods. But then again, you know, officers really aren't going to respond to something like that because who's to say that somebody's not just walking the trail with a flashlight? So you go out there, with your guns in hand saying, hey, who are you? What are you doing? Well, I'm just walking my dog. You know, so...
You don't want to keep the citizenry from doing what they do.
Even though we know people are living out there, I mean, it's obvious people are living out there. I mean, you know, or you see ashes and burnt logs. I mean, you know, people are out there. So I mean, we know people are out
there. And I'm wondering what drives a person to live a homeless life like that and then not maybe get help and go to, in San Antonio, I think we have Haven for Hope.
Yeah, well, like we've had on a previous show, sometimes it's they don't want the help because then they have to stop doing what they're doing. They want enabling.
Like drugs or alcohol?
Yeah, whether it be drugs
like
or alcohol. So, like, let's say I have an alcohol problem. It's not drugs. I have an alcohol problem, and I like to get drunk all the time. And, of course, I can't show up to work on time, and the job, you know, they lay me off or they fire me because I'm just not showing up to work on time. Now I can't pay the bills, my mortgage, my truck payment, my insurance payment. So I lose my house, and I eventually lose my truck, and that means I became homeless. Well, I kind of like the alcohol. I mean, I really like the alcohol more than I like living in a home.
And you don't want to follow the rules.
Yeah, and I don't want to follow the rules. So I don't want to go to Haven for Hope where they say you can't drink alcohol. No, I kind of like to be drunk. I like to panhandle and be drunk. So that's sometimes the reason why it happens. Now, it does happen where people actually lose their job. Like, say, COVID, they lose their job and they can't find another job because there's so many other people out there without a job. And they become homeless for something like that. It has happened. So.
Yeah, I see people, and I do a lot of driving in that district mm-hmm. with what I do in my job, and I see people in the middle of the medians walking back and forth. It's like they have the lights timed in their head. They know how far to walk before they have to turn back. They don't even look at the light, but they want money. They don't want food. They want money. They want cash.
So what is Irene going to do to kind of help that situation?
Well, she wants to utilize our current resources. Mm-hmm. By doing that, whether it be money or some type of program that the city offers to provide some compassionate guidance, I guess, for these homeless individuals because maybe some are down on their luck and they don't want to be like that.
Are we talking something like mental health guidance or?
Mental health guidance. The Center for Healthcare Services is a resource out there.
Is she looking at maybe having a new building built where it's like another Haven for Hope 2? Or is she looking at?
That would be awesome if we could get something in the district for that.
Is she looking at spending some of that money for soup kitchens to feed these people?
They think that, and this is just my guess, I haven't talked to her directly about this, but I think that she wants to provide current resources and providing compassion for those less fortunate.
You know, I think would be a good idea.
That's her platform.
Is because homeless people sometimes, not always, but sometimes homeless people will just stay homeless because that's what they want. They like that free lifestyle. We did a podcast on it the other day where that homeless guy did not want a job. Sometimes they just want to stay in that lifestyle. So knowing that some people want to stay in that lifestyle, I think soup kitchens are kind of a neat idea. You know, things along that area. So, I mean, if she's looking at, you know, putting some of the resources into things like that, I think that would be really helpful.
I think so, too. But we need the help of the San Antonio Police Department and the policies that they put forward in how they deal with homeless individuals in the city as a whole. Now, it's one thing for District 6, but it's another thing with the San Antonio Police Department because it addresses the entire city. So we were hoping that maybe the police department will put forth policies. I guess in this case would be Chief William McManus would offer us some guidance as to how the city plans to address this. And I think her voice in the city council would be very important to address these issues and get a response from the San Antonio Police Department as to what they're willing to do and what resources are available and to use those resources in a way that directly assists homeless individuals and hopefully gets them out of the rut that they're in.
Okay, when she gets elected to city council, doesn't she have the ability to redirect funds in her district for the needs that she feels that the people need?
I believe that is a way to do, I think that is completely possible. But I think that what's been happening, at least, and this is me as a citizen of San Antonio, I think some funds that the city allocates for certain districts still spill into other districts. Like District number 1, for example, is the downtown area and the big business buildings and stuff like that. And we're not too happy with the incumbent there. We had a direct issue with him because of the he wanted to remove the cenotaph and reimagine the Alamo.
Yeah.
And we didn't like that at all.
Well, is Irene for something like that?
Absolutely not. We want to keep the cenotaph exactly where it is.
Well, not just the cenotaph. I mean, anything that is part of our history.
We don't want to forget our history,
of course,
Ricky.
Not.
We don't want to reimagine anything.
No.
Because history can never be changed. What happened, happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to preserve that for future generations.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And going back to District 6, we want to preserve what makes District 6 so unique. And we want the citizens to be happy that live in that district to have infrastructure that is up to date, lower property taxes, which will hopefully give the resident more money to contribute to a free market economy.
Yeah, well, that's definitely what we need. Like I said, we need more people to have jobs so they can put more money back into our city.
What we're realizing is that everything starts from the bottom, and we got to work our way up. So let's work on our city, District 6 in particular. Let's work on District 6 and then hopefully be a model for the other districts to become a better city. And I'm kind of worried about is the city going to eventually ask to buy our guns back? Because of what's
going
on?
Well, they didn't buy my guns in the first place. How can they buy them back?
Precisely, what I'm saying.
If they did, write me a check right now. And then
it's just political wording, but this happened, I think, I can't remember. I think it was a stimulus check actually some guy from another city.
Mm-hmm.
The city bought his guns, and then he bought one really nice gun.
Was it
with
California?
All that money. I can't remember where it was, but he used the buyback program to get himself a better gun.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a top-of-the-line AR-15 or what. But I'm hoping that as far as District 6 and the city of San Antonio are concerned, I'm hoping that the city doesn't come out with a program like that. But that's why we need somebody like Irina Rudolph to advocate our concerns on Second Amendment issues. And I think this is a very, very important. I think this is a city issue as well as far as pro-Second Amendment. mm-hmm. because the city can set can pass ordinances that could very well ask citizens to sell their guns back to the city, which they didn't buy in the first place.
Well, you know, if that ever happens, I'm taking my guns out to our place in the country where they can't touch them because it's well out of county. They can't touch
them. And that particular county is a red county, right?
It's a red county, so they can't touch them. We actually have a sheriff. We don't have a police chief who is subservient to the mayor. We actually have a sheriff who doesn't answer to anybody.
Yeah, he is in charge of his political subdivision.
Exactly. So I'll take my guns out there to the country.
And they'll be quite safe, sir.
And I'll put them in actual safe, and I'll bolt them to the concrete real good out there. So
awesome.
But I'm not letting the city or anybody take my guns away.
So I think that's what Irina Rudolph could do as far as supporting our Second Amendment rights, making sure that Sydney ordinances like this don't pass. But she is also an avid supporter of our military and our veterans and our first responders.
I like that.
So
yeah.
We need our police. We need our firefighters. We definitely need our paramedics. All of them put their lives on the line to take care of the public, because I don't want anybody other than a highly trained individual to address my emergency needs. And when I call 911, I want somebody to pick up the line. I want somebody to respond.
Yeah.
And to defund the police is extremely counterproductive. The police need all the resources that we can possibly get them, whatever grants we can get from the federal government, whatever the city can allocate in the budget for first responders should be done. New vehicles, new equipment, extra training.
And you said she's for that. I mean, she can
she
allocate
is
money
completely
for that?
All for that. Well, yes, I would hope so. And she would vote for something like that if there was an ordinance passed.
She would vote for it, yeah.
The city council votes as a collective, I believe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, each district is limited to what they can do for their district, but
that's a starting point, though.
It's a start. It starts from the bottom and works our way up. And our incumbent is not doing hardly anything at all that I can see to help the citizens of her district.
To me, it's just inconceivable why anybody, other than a criminal, it's inconceivable why anybody would want to defund the police.
The program that is being put out right now, I think it's called Fix SAPD. Now, that is anti-police.
Mm-hmm.
You can just tell by the way I said it. Fix SAPD. It doesn't need to be fixed.
It needs to be. Makes sense to me. I mean, why don't we just defund the fire department so our houses can burn down? Or why don't we defund the hospital so we can get sick and die of COVID? It doesn't make any sense to me. Unless you're pro-criminal activity. To want to defund the police.
That is the only way to explain it. If you're not pro-police, then
you're pro-criminal.
I think it's pro-criminal. It's the only alternate thing that they could be advocating for. And Irina, of course, supports our military and veterans. Mm-hmm. We're known here
Aren't
as...
Aren't you a veteran?
I am. United States Army, 19-kilo, 3rd ID. Huh?
Thank you for your service, sir.
It was a pleasure to serve the United States Army. I'm telling you. I wish I could do it again. But... we are known here in San Antonio as Military City USA officially. So the ones that are remaining right now is Randolph Air Force Base. We have Fort Sam Houston. And we have Lackland Air Force Base, which is the gateway of the Air Force. All the enlisted Air Force trainees go through that base.
Well, I mean, I know
Kelly doesn't exist anymore.
We still have an airport there, right?
There is an airport.
Yeah,
there.
433rd is still there, but I think it's not East Kelly anymore. I think it's called part of Lackland. I think I'm not positive, and I know that the annex, which was Medina Base, is still there, but I don't think it's used for what it used to be used for back in the 60s. But it's still physically there. But they pretty much downsized most everything, which is very unfortunate. Because I remember when I was growing up, we were, you know, Military Drive. I don't know if everybody out there knows. There's a Military Drive, and that road used to go from the far east side through most of the bases. It would go through most of our bases, so it was called the Drive, or Military Drive. There's also another road that would go from Fort Sam Houston, the north side of Fort Sam Houston. Not many people know about that gate. It's over there by the... Sunken Gardens.
Oh, okay.
Right? There's a gate in that area, and that gate goes all the way to the north side of San Antonio, which is Military Drive, also goes to the north side of San Antonio. And that road is called Military Highway.
I didn't know the why they named it the military highway and military drive. Military highway
because the road, the military highway, actually goes all the way in to Fort Sam Houston.
Is it Camp Bullis? I thought it was Camp Bullis.
It goes that's Camp Bullis because that's military. It touches Camp Bullis.
Okay.
And it terminates in Camp Bullis, and it terminates in Fort Sam Houston.
That's awesome. I had no idea.
That's a piece of history for you guys.
I've been here for 30 years, and I'm just now finding this out. But we are known as Military City USA, and we have military drives and highways to prove it. Irina certainly is an advocate for military and, like I said, veterans and first responders. She's the most patriotic woman I know. And I think she is the right choice for, you know, City Council District 6. I think that she is the one that can get things done. And I have to say it, she can do it. She can do it. And
well, if I lived in District 6, she'd definitely have my vote. But unfortunately, I don't live there. But
well, I guess you can't be like the Democrats and get residency and then vote and leave.
If I was dead, you can use my vote over there. But
thank you, Ricky. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
So we definitely want to let you know about Irina Rudolph, a good friend of mine, and running for City Council District 6. The website is d6sa.com, and you can find her on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Well, let's hear from Irina herself.
My name is Irina Rudolph, and I'm running to make District 6 better for all its residents. As a small business owner myself, I understand how hard it is to keep a business afloat, especially during the pandemic. Times are tough, but we are tougher. I will fight to ensure the stable security of the small businesses to stay up and running. Property values and taxes have risen tremendously. I will fight for all of those who are struggling to make ends meet and ensure that their homes will continue to be their home. With the vast movement of businesses coming to Texas, many of them are not located to San Antonio. In these hard times, many are finding it hard to find jobs. I was a single mother from a different country working two jobs. If you're a single mother, you understand how hard it is to support your children. I will be an advocate to ensure these doors of opportunity are available to not only you, but also to your family. Crime has grown and the police force has diminished. The importance of having security in our neighborhoods is very crucial to me, and I will fight for our first responders. I'm pro-military, pro-police, and pro-Second Amendment. Growing numbers of the elderly, both physically and mentally disabled, and homeless population need assistance from their council. I will also be an advocate for their needs. Sadly, our streets have not kept up with growth in our beloved San Antonio, leading to dangerous driving conditions, such as car damaging potholes and excessive amount of road debris. It is in all of our best interest to address the road maintenance needs that need to be done around District 6. If you want positive change in District 6, that right choice is me, Irina Rudolph. Thank you for your support.
Voten por mí para un cambio mejor. Soy Irina Rudolph para Distrito 6.
And we certainly appreciate you listening. My name is Randy Savage.
My name is Ricky Midnight.
And may God bless America.
Thanks for listening to The Uncensored Voice.
Make sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And remember, on The Uncensored Voice, we tell it like it is.
So be safe, my friends, and may God bless America.